It has a long and rich background that's more than a century and a half old. So we're discussing the history of St. John's Riverside Hospital. Our guest, Denise Mananis. She's Associate Vice President of External Affairs and Strategic Communication for St. John's Riverside Hospital. This is the Riverside Radio Healthcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joey Waller. Hey there, Denise. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to do one of these. Usually I push my own physicians up, but it's my turn.
Okay, absolutely. Why not? You're the historian of the organization, so we're going to get a history lesson from you here today, a little change of pace. First, what does your role entail, and how did you get interested in that history of the organization?
I've been with St. John's for now, this is my 33rd year. I mean, I don't think that was in the plan when I joined the hospital, but I am also from the local community. I knew about the hospital long before I ever worked here. I have many, many friends, colleagues that we went to elementary school, high school together. The organization, St. John's, has been in this community for now, this is our 156th year. And we are currently a hub of education, but we've always had a nursing school. Many of my friends and colleagues went through our nursing school and work here and serve the community. So, you know, I found a home here and I just became really interested in the people who built this organization. And we're very different from what it was when we started, for sure. So my role, by the way, here is external affairs. So that includes a number of things. External affairs is marketing, PR, advertising, community relations, government relations, things like that, fundraising. So I talk to people in the community all the time, and I understand how important this hospital is to our community. So I just love talking about it.
So it was, in fact, Westchester's very first hospital back in 1869. So how did St. John's Riverside get started in a nutshell?
In 1869, we were at the end of the Civil War. There were many members of the community that were returning from the war. And there were six women in St. John's Episcopal Church, which is in Getty Square, which is a few miles south of the current hospital site, that looked around and said, oh my, we really need to do something for a lot of these people who cannot care for themselves. So they got together and they formed in 1869 with First Hospital between New York City and Albany, and we were born. And within a year, the demand was so important, so needed, that they moved to a much bigger house, because in those days they had houses, a much bigger facility, and the growth just took off from there. So those ladies, they were smart.
They were indeed. And speaking of firsts, later the Cochrane School becomes Westchester's first nursing school as well, right?
That is true. So the growth of the hospital took off. There was a very wealthy man and his wife in the Yonkers community with the last name of Cochrane. And they were the ones who funded and donated to the hospital to build the buildings of the old hospital, to expand the services. They built not only an original hospital, but a surgical pavilion. And then finally, they built the nursing school. And that was all on site on one campus at that time. First, I don't know if it's the oldest, but it is one of the oldest hospital-based nursing schools. They're in their 131st year, and well over 3,000 nurses have been educated through that school. And a fun fact about that is we have had nurses serve our country in every war since the founding of the nursing school. We love them, and they've helped build, those nurses have helped build this hospital as well.
Certainly sounds like it. Well, to continue discussing how the facilities got to where they are today, logistically speaking, fast forward to the 2000s. How about St. John's Riverside merging with Yonkers General Hospital?
Well, actually, before I get there, I want to step back 1 minute because the building that I am currently sitting in now is what we call the Andrus Pavilion. And in 1957, the rector of St. John's Episcopal Church, our founding organization, has always sat on our board of trustees. And at the time, Reverend Winterbottom He got a phone call from a woman by the name of Helen Andrus Benedict. It was Christmas Eve in 1957. And she said to him, and she was the daughter of a very wealthy man, local man, by the name of John Andrus. So she had a lot of money. And she said, I need to see you. He said, but not today. It's Christmas Eve. I've got mass. I've got things. She said, I'll make it worth your while. So he ends up giving in, showing up to see her. And it was quite interesting. When he got there at 4:30, she handed him an $8 million check. And remember, this is 1957. And with that, there was an estate in Yonkers called the Untermeyer Estate. There's a beautiful park next door to our building now that is a conservancy, which is the gardens of Untermeyer. And we are actually seated on that land that was part of that estate. She bought the land and built the building that we're in. And she was an interesting woman. And some of the things that she liked and didn't like, you still get in the building that we're in today. So we've been here in this site since we opened in 1963, April 4th, 1963. So fast forward, for a long time, this hospital was just this building with our nursing school here. It was great. But then when I came into the hospital in 1992, you know, healthcare had started to really change in this country. And so our CEO at the time started to look around to partner with some of the other local hospitals. And we became interested in working more closely with Yonkers General Hospital. Yonkers General Hospital, interestingly, was also founded by women in the late 1800s and operated and administered by those women on a voluntary basis until 1931. So kudos to those women, because running a hospital, at that time it was called Yonkers Home, Homeopathic Home and Maternity. And so it was a maternity hospital as well. They just did an amazing job keeping that organization going. But by the change, you know, in the 1990s, the community had changed, society had changed. There were, at the time, three hospitals within 6 miles of one another. So the competition was it was too close. So we started working with Yonkers General, and by 2001, we officially merged with them, and they are now called the Park Care Pavilion of St. John's. But one of the great overriding things about all of our growth is that this hospital was founded by those women with the idea that there's a real mission of service to our community. And I would say the same thing for Yonkers General Hospital. And again, the same thing for Community Hospital at Dobbs Ferry that was also founded in the late 1800s, 1893. All community-founded based organizations of service. And that is something that our hospitals still work against today. Our tagline is, we are community strong. And nothing is a better example of that than what happened during COVID. Because our community came out for us. We were a COVID center in 2020, and there was nowhere else to go. And it was terrible, that first lockdown in March of 2020, when that started, people didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. And I am always, in my position, I'm not a clinical person, but I was very proud of the people who came here every day to take care of the community. And that is exactly what this hospital has always been.
So to clarify, a short time after that first transaction, there's the purchase of Community Hospital of Dobbs Ferry, as you said. And then how about, you touched on it a little bit, Denise, any other big donors for the hospital over the years that have meant a lot because of what they contributed?
Yeah. There's a lot of people in the community, especially at that time where this area of the world was built by very wealthy people. There, you could still see these beautiful mansions up the Hudson River that are historical sites. There were a lot of people who brought money to the table for that. I can't really go into names and families and things, but what I can say is that our community, even the people who now give us $10 or $25. They do it consistently. It is still part of what they give back to us. The other part of that support, and I referenced it with COVID, but you know, people don't think much about hospitals until the day they need them. As an example of that, I certainly here on the East Coast, we get hurricanes that come up the coast. And we had one called Hurricane Sandy a few years ago. And as an example of what happens in that emergency, the entire city of Yonkers lost power. We had over 100 community members who came and arrived here needing electricity to support their medical devices. And we house them, we feed them, we don't charge them. This is what needed to happen to take care of our community. To go back to COVID for a second, the police, the fire, the EMS, the schools, the cards, the food that came to the hospital, it was so gratifying to know that the community really understood the value of what we're doing here. I will say there's been a lot of bumpy roads. And another example of the community coming to support us was back in 2006. We had started working with Dobbs Ferry Hospital in 2001, 2002. And in 2006, New York State named that hospital to the Burger Commission's closure list. We had been experiencing a financial turnaround in that hospital, and we fought, and it was a three-year battle. The community, I have never seen anything like it. We had rallies. Everybody in the river towns that surrounded that hospital wanted to keep that facility there, and there were signs everywhere, every business, every residence. They rallied to keep it, and there's real connection in our communities to this organization. You know, I just love the stories of the people who built it and, you know, who made it possible for us to be still doing such great work for our community.
That sounds awesome. And you've done a great job covering much of the history. How about we switch gears a little bit and talk about today? How about the hospital's current modern times and maybe some new technology? We hear so much about new technology in the medical world all the time, right?
Yeah. Interestingly, you know, healthcare is a tough field, right? And it's an expensive field, as we all know. And those $25 donations help us because they do add up. We are currently in a transformational stage. We just, in our Dobbs Ferry Hospital, we put in a stereotactic breast biopsy machine. That's a new one there. We just upgraded the CAT scan machine there. All of our radiology equipment is accredited by the American College of Radiology, which is an important distinction because you really want to know that you're getting quality when you go to a hospital and you need to depend on them for your testing and your diagnostics. When you come to this building that I'm sitting in, we are about to embark on a long-awaited expansion of our emergency room, which serves way more people than it was built to accommodate. But again, the community has changed so much. We're putting in a new MRI here, a wide-bore MRI. We're putting in a new CAT scan here. We are renovating and expanding the emergency department. We have some great things a little further out than the ER, which is our operating rooms are going to be getting it. We're going to be looking at doing all kinds of renovations in all of our facilities. Interestingly, as the organization grew, we've had some wonderful leadership that has helped us retain the character of the hospitals that despite bringing all of this modern technology, I mean, you can go on about, I skipped the robotic Da Vinci surgical, you know, stuff that we're doing. We were the first ones to bring megaplasty orthopedic surgery to this west, to the county, and probably a little beyond. So we're very robotic. We have wonderful services here that our physicians and our surgeons have helped bring to the hospital. So we're poised to really go into our future doing some wonderful things and bringing a state-of-the-art facility and staying current, which is very important for our community. And it is sort of the hallmark of our history. You know, we've had to change to accommodate the changes in our community, and we're still doing that.
Well, it certainly sounds, Denise, as though you and yours really do, in fact, put the community in community hospital. And I think it's safe to say, based on what you shared with us today, that all those great women that started it all, where it was built on their shoulders, if they could look down and see what's happening now, it sounds like they'd be very proud of the work that's continued, right?
I hope so. I hope so, because it is a labor of love. You have to love people and you have to love your community to do this kind of work.
No question about that. Well, folks, we trust you're now more familiar with St. John's Riverside Hospital's groundbreaking history. Now you know why. It's just that. Denise, amazing stuff. I don't know how you keep it all straight between the yesteryear stuff and the current stuff, the future stuff. Kudos to you on doing all that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure.
And for more information about the hospital, please call 914-798-8990 or email info@riversidehealth.org. Now, if you found this podcast helpful, please do share it on your social media. I'm Joey Waller, and thanks so much again for being part of the Riverside Radio Healthcast from St. John's Riverside Hospital.